3, 2, 1.
All right, let's do this. Get set.
This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Uzinski on AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Running Flat Radio is a paid program on AM 800.
And welcome to another edition of Running Flat Radio. Welcome, Kelly Steele from the Windsor Star.
Thank you, Chris.
How was your vacation?
Vacation was wonderful. It seems like I might have brought some of the warm weather home with me.
Awesome. Awesome, because I know I didn't for my vacation. But we did postpone last week's because of personal issues that I had. And Jeff Galloway will be on in April.
Okay.
I promise that.
And Jeff's
really looking forward to being on the show. Also coming up, hopefully for April 1st, Meb.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Meb came in fifth at the New York Half Marathon Championships on the weekend. It was a really, really good run for him. Of course, back late last year, he won the American U.S. Half Marathon Championships in Houston. And he's really saving himself up, obviously, for Boston. So he's going to be on talking about Boston. This is, he's 39 years old and still an elite athlete. Incredible. So we're going to have him on April 1st. Hopefully we're going to finalize that. And we are preempted next week because the Windsor Spitfires are in the playoffs. Go Spits. And, but yeah, it's going to be a great show. Oh, another big news this week. We're finally on iTunes.
That's even cooler.
That's really cool. And so if you're interested in downloading any of these shows, go to iTunes, go to Running Flat Radio, and what you'll be able to do is put on your iPod and then hit your treadmill or go for a ride. Another thing that I want to get done in the next month, and I really, really want to have a show on this. I did a little post on Facebook about it, got a ton of reaction. And that is the entire issue revolving around cycling in groups in Ontario. What's a highway? What's a, you know, going two abreast with only two lanes? You know, I hear the Amherstburg cops are fining people. I hear all these stories.
Oh, I've had the Amherstburg police riding behind us on the speaker screaming at us to single file. That's been a huge part of the whole issue is, what are the rules? And it does kind of seem like from municipality to municipality, it changes. Someone has mentioned to me that in Amherstburg, they in fact have a bylaw that says when you're in Amherstburg, you have to ride single file.
But you know what? There's a lot of issues around this. And one is obviously we're going to get someone in from the minister's office. We're going to get someone from the Windsor Police. We'll hopefully maybe get someone maybe from the Eastside Riders to come join us or Cafe Mondo. Or maybe one of the bike shops. And let's have a round table about this because it's really interesting. And ultimately, you know, we're all cyclists, right? I mean, and what we end up doing is we always blow through stop signs.
Yep.
Right? On a training ride.
Because you don't want to unclip.
Well, of course, but that's illegal.
I know. I know.
So, you know, so we have no one else to blame but ourselves, but it's something that I think it's that as an industry and as recreational riders, we really need to address that and have a conversation about that.
But do you know what the sad part is? Okay, you know, I do understand that they don't want you to ride two abreast just because they think you're taking up most of the road. But you know from riding on the road, when you ride single file, you always get that motorist who cheats over as close as you, close to you as they can get, almost forcing you onto the gravel, which is really scary.
But the law is the law.
I know.
So let's address where the law is at, and let's address where the industry is at, and recreational riders are at, and let's have a frank conversation about that because it's something that we haven't done. And I know.
I think
guys,
you may have to book like a 2 or 3 hour slot for that discussion.
I don't know if we can afford that, but I think it's a worthwhile conversation, and I think that the community should get involved in that as well. So we'll give you plenty of time on that, and we'll open up some lines. So it's been a really crazy week with us finally going on iTunes. You know, Le Chocolat will be showing off the course, which will end up becoming a double loop on Riverside Drive. So we'll be able to kind of talk about that in upcoming weeks.
And double loop courses are always nice because you get the spectators, you get some good crowd support there. And at the same time, it's always cool when you're passing people and you can see where they are. You can kind of wave to your friends and that during the course. Sometimes I really like those double loop courses.
Well, you know what? We're very, very fortunate to be on one of the most iconic pieces of real estate in Southern Ontario, that overlooks the Detroit River, the Detroit Vista, mm-hmm. And to have that closed off is frankly a big honor for a race director, and it is Windsor's only half marathon, so
I'll also be able to see the firemen more and more times, right? Of course.
Awesome. So Le Chocolat, almost sold out. Go to runningflat.com where you can register for that. Canada Day is open as well. That's moving along pretty fast. It looks like Rick Mercer is winning the poll to be on this year's medal.
Really? That's a bit of a surprise now.
Yeah, Rick Mercer's a real Canadian figure, right?
Any chance we can get Rick Mercer out for that?
You never know. You just never know. We've also got, we will be opening Rockme Anaphylaxis. We're just finalizing a couple details before that opens up. I can give you a hint that we have a really, really loud and unbelievably huge rock band impersonation band playing mm-hmm. the finish line for Rockme Anaphylaxis.
That would be very cool. I mean, that's like, a local band?
Well, they're like in full makeup. Rock band.
Are we talking Kiss?
I really can't discuss it. But anyway, they're going to be at Rockme Anaphylaxis, and it's just going to be a rockin' time.
Now that would get you going some nice loud music. I love it.
It's going to be awesome. And of course, Run for Heroes. We will be sending out to local schools and to anyone who wants to download it. The kids marathon that we're doing this year. So on top of the 42K, on top of the half marathon, the 5K and the 10K. And the kids race, we actually have a kids marathon that we're introducing this year. Awesome event. Basically, as a kid, you log in 41 kilometers with mom, dad, guardian, whoever it is.
And you can do that 1 kilometer at a time,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Between now and September 20th. And then on September 20th, you come into Amherstburg, you do your last kilometer with us, and you get a marathon medal.
I love that idea.
Yeah. So we're really, really excited about really trying to get the kids involved and their parents involved, and really get them into marathon running, into a 5K, and really just kind of enjoy a Run for Heroes as an event. So
very nice.
And so all those details are at runningflat.com, and you can join us. We got such a busy show today. It's really crazy being back. We have Jason Petro and David Petro from The Heartbreaker mm-hmm. Joining us. We're going to talk about... these Petro brothers are really, really good runners. Mm-hmm. They've even won the Detroit Marathon Relay.
That's fast.
That's how good these Petro boys are.
So they beat the Hanson guys?
Yeah. So we're going to talk to them basically because we're going to talk about obstacle racing. We're going to talk about the evolution of that in Windsor. We're also going to introduce our new feature of every week of... it's really all about the music that you put on your iPod, right, as mm-hmm. runners. It's all about that new music that you want to add to your mix. It's really exciting.
The motivational stuff.
Right. So what happens at the Uzinski household is Mrs. Uzinski really is in charge of the music. She does an amazing job really detailing all the music for every single run that we do. And we work really closely, obviously, with the Color Run guys mm-hmm. and their DJs. So every week we're going to introduce some new music that you can put on your iPod this year that mostly isn't on the radio. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited about that. So every week we're going to put that on Facebook, and we're also going to introduce it on the show. And
now, are you looking for people to submit?
Absolutely. If they'd like to, that'd be great. Submit what you're listening to. No Eye of the Tiger, okay? I draw the line at Eye of the Tiger. It's not on any mixes that exist in our house. And also, if you go to Running Flat Radio right now and post a question for the Heartbreaker Boys, you will also be able to give away a bib for the event. A question, and we'll give away a bib and get those guys going. Also, in the last part of the hour, half past the hour, we're going to have Melissa Bishop on, who is the Canadian Olympic 800-meter sprinter from London. She's in Windsor. She's going to be in studio, and we're going to talk about what it's like being an Olympic athlete. And then, of course, Scott Leach from Canadian Running Magazine joins us near the end of the hour. It's a really, really busy show. So stay tuned and come back to this is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
This is big. All the great things Porter brings to flying, Porter's bringing to your whole trip. Porter Escapes. Here's the proposition. Porter Escapes bundles thoughtfully chosen hotel rooms with your flight to create a complete getaway anywhere we fly. Parcel up your trip with Porter Escapes and you'll save a bundle. Book at porterescapes.com. Porter Escapes. Fly, stay, and save.
The Heart and Stroke Foundation's 28th Soup Kitchen will be open Thursday, March 20th from 11 till 2 at the St. Clair Center for the Arts. Reserve your table now to sample delicious soups from some of the finest restaurants in Windsor. Tickets $8 in advance, $10 at the door. Call 519-254-4345. Bring in one or more cans for the Unemployed Help Center and get a raffle ticket for each can for a chance to win cash and prizes. The Heart and Stroke Foundation's 28th Soup Kitchen, sponsored in part by the Culinary Guild of Windsor, the Windsor-Essex County Real Estate Board, and AM800.
Take Ford's some garages, oil change won't get service Ford trained technician. That means they might not take time inspect little things, all nuts, bolts, and certainly won't have Ford trained advisors on hand explain everything you. Not in million years. So visit Ford store today, the works. 83-point inspection, including oil change, tire rotation, $59.99. It's great way make sure nothing left out. When comes to your Ford, beware parts unknown. Taxes extra. Visit participating Ford stores, conditions, details.
You may think that buying contraband tobacco doesn't really hurt anyone. But I bet you don't know that illegal cigarettes are distributed by a drug dealer network. Or that illegal cigarettes finance organized crime. And illegal cigarettes make you an accomplice when you buy them.
A message from the National Coalition Against Contraband Tobacco. For more information, visit stopcontrabandtobacco.ca.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. Rain beginning after midnight tonight, a low of 2. The rain continues tomorrow, a high all the way up to 8. Rain ending after midnight Wednesday night, then cloudy, a 30% chance of flurries, windy and a low of 0. Mix of sun and cloud Thursday and Friday, a 30% chance of flurries or showers, high of 6 on Thursday, 5 on Friday. Once again tonight, rain beginning after midnight, a low of 2. Tomorrow the rain continues in a high all the way up to 8.
Hey, I'm Vince. I work in customer solutions at TELUS.
Vince knows when two great things come together, it's magic.
Like pairing a $0 Samsung Galaxy S4 with a 2-year TELUS Share Plus plan.
But what about pairing a TELUS employee with his charming announcer friend?
I think our customers might prefer a cool phone with an amazing plan.
Just testing you, Vince.
Get the Samsung Galaxy S4 for $0 on a 2-year TELUS Share Plus plan. Visit TELUS.com for details. Conditions apply.
Facebook, Twitter, the internet. Oh, and you can find us on your car radio, too. AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Looking to start running? Strap on a pair of comfortable shoes. Now put one foot in front of the other and keep going. It's that easy. This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. So we have a new feature that we wanted to start up, and that is the Song of the Week. And this week's Song of the Week is No No No, Pumpin' Blood. Kind of, you know, a heartbreaker challenge kind of song, I think. So just get to listen for a couple seconds. No, 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 Pumpin' Blood. Great song to
That's
get you down.
Nice,
the,
happy one.
Get you off the driveway, get you down the road.
I like to hear that about mile 19 on my 20-miler.
So with that, with Pumpin' Blood, we introduce this week's guests, David Petro and Jason Petro, the Heartbreaker. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
So correct me. Correct me on the issue of you guys winning Detroit.
Okay. Well, I think... realistically, back in the day when we brought in all the Petro brothers, the five of us, and they had an opportunity to run the relay, the first couple of years we did the relay,
they had a family category. So it had to be all related. And we won that the first year that we did it.
Yeah. You beat the Von Trapps?
Yes, that's right. You know, so we're fastest family for a while.
Oh, okay.
Everyone in your family still running?
Yeah.
We try to run, yeah.
And no competitiveness there whatsoever, right?
Maybe.
A little bit.
You bet there is. So let's talk about the Heartbreaker. The Heartbreaker came out of another event that had been around the city for quite a while. So let's talk about that, Jason.
So, yes, we had the Path to a Better Heart 5K run that started back in 2000. And that was really just trying to get a little bit of a fundraiser with my kind of interest in running,
right?
Have a 5K run, raise a little money for the Cardiac Wellness Center here in Windsor. And it just kind of just evolved over time. And eventually, for 10 years it was going on. And I think it was actually David's wife, my sister-in-law, Catherine, who kind of brought up the idea of, hey, why don't you think about a mud obstacle race, you know, in the era of Tough Mudder, Warrior yep. Dash, all that kind
Spartan.
Of stuff, Spartan runs. And I think initially I was like, yeah, whatever, you know, and then I think she hit it on my head one more time at some family function and it kind of clicked in and we just started talking about it a little bit more. And I think next thing you know, I was just approaching the hospital saying, you know what, I think we want to try to change it up a little bit. And we put it forward to Windsor Regional Hospital, and they said, yeah, sure, let's give it a try. And so we started the planning. It was about 15 months of planning to get the event on last May, and it was a big success.
Yeah, you guys sold out, did you not?
Well, I mean, what is selling out?
Yeah. We'll take all comers, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we were going to be happy to have, you know, I think initially 750 people, 800 people. And then when it climbed over 1,000 and then it got to 1,500, we mm-hmm. were like, I think when Dave and I were setting up with all the rest of the volunteers, we were kind of thinking, oh my God, this is actually happening. Like, this was way bigger than anything that we have ever put on.
Now, what do you think the lure is for this type of race? Like, why do people want to go roll around in the mud and climb over stuff?
Well, I think it's just something different, right? And the one thing that I always wanted to try to promote, even with cardiac wellness, is just getting people active. Mm-hmm. It's not really about crossing the finish line first, coming last. It's about participating and getting healthy and trying to encourage yourself to take the challenge, as we say. Mm-hmm.
With a race like this, do you think you're getting to a lot of almost your first time? Maybe people who aren't even really runners, just people who are coming up for that reason. They simply want to have some fun and get fit.
We actually did have, I think, more than half of the people that were in the event last year, this was their first event mm-hmm. of any kind. So we were really happy with that.
And you got some positive feedback from that?
We got almost all positive feedback about the event. I mean, you know, I think with a mud obstacle race, you are tapping into that old kid in you, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, like, you know, we didn't need any of those other big playthings. We need stick, mud, rock. That's all we need for toys. And that's all we need for an obstacle race, too.
Yeah. Now, what do you think the biggest obstacle in your race? Like, what was the one last year that people just really loved? Was there a favorite?
Easily the water slide.
Yeah, the water slide, I think, was the that was our signature obstacle, and it worked out really
What'd
well.
What'd you do on that one?
Really just got a big piece of plastic donated from Target Target Building Supplies, and it was 50 by 125 down the Toboggan Hill at Malden Park, and my brother George, being the handyman that he is, created some kind of water pipe system that we hooked up to a fire hydrant. And it was just running constantly. It was
nice.
Simple.
So what's different this year?
Different this year. I think we're starting to look at different obstacle ideas. I think there's maybe a plan for two water slides.
Well, yeah,
a lot of
the planning.
I hear a race coming on.
Well, a lot of the planning is really dependent on the state of Malden Park.
Yeah.
You know, we really like that venue, and
you think there won't be any snow in Malden Park by then?
We're hoping. But
we'll just integrate that into the.
It could be an obstacle. You never know. But, you know, the state of the park really tells us how we're going to arrange some of the obstacles. And,
yeah.
And, you know, and it may not be about what's different, but some of the things that are the same, you know, we're really try to make the obstacles of varying levels of difficulty so people can choose to do the easy, the medium, or the hard. So it isn't about whatever your limits are and trying to tap into those.
So how many volunteers do you need to pull off an event like that?
Well... We did it last year with about 100,
yeah,
and we certainly could use more.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So I think this year we were a little bit more planned in that respect, and I think we're going to be okay. Certainly a lot of support from Hotel Du Grace Healthcare, now that the program's with that organization, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
How would someone volunteer if they wanted to? Do they just go to your website?
They can go to the website. There's actually a connection on our race roster site, or they can call Paulette Jagatic at Volunteer Services at Hotel Du Grace Healthcare.
And what's your website for that race?
Heartbreakerchallenge.com.
You know, it's always really interesting that in what we do, volunteers are such an integral part of actually making it all happen. For Run for Heroes in Amherstburg, we used 350 volunteers to do the marathon, half marathon, 5K, 10K course.
Do you find that's enough?
Yeah, but just enough.
Yeah.
Just enough. Color Run is 250 volunteers. Even looking at Le Chocolat coming up, we're going to need close to 200 volunteers to pull off what we do on that course. And it's such an important part of what we do. And, you know, and it's one of the things that we don't really talk about very much on the radio. But it's something that, you know, if you're listening right now and if you're interested and you want to get involved in running, or if you're a runner and you're just not going to do that event and you've got the time, we'd love to have you, because it's great having guys with eyes who've been there, done that, seen that, mm-hmm. to also help out and look for stuff that's on the course. So
now with your Heartbreaker, is your Heartbreaker a team event or is it individuals?
So they can do it as an individual or as a team of four. Mm-hmm. We try to have some of the obstacles so that they are unique to a team. So a team would have to do something together.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a different obstacle for the individual person. But we're gearing for this to be like a team event, something that you can do, egg each other on.
Yep.
Keep each other moving, you know, that sort of thing.
And if you start with four, you finish with four, right?
That's the whole,
that's the whole idea. So, you know, you're pulling each other through. I mean, there was some really good comments last year about some people coming through and being encouraged by their teammates. Mm-hmm. And that was, it wasn't about finishing first or anything like that. It was about finishing together at the end.
So let's face it, you got a medal whether you finish or whether you're first or whether you're last, right? You're still done the race.
Well, they don't get a medal.
I kind of skirted over that. I saw the look on your face.
They get a beer at the end.
A
if
beer,
you're 19 years older.
Sometimes beer is even better than a medal.
But a nice beer glass.
There you go.
Jason, that's a great idea.
Jason David from the Heartbreaker, www.heartbreakerchallenge.com. Thank you very much for coming in today. Good luck.
We are
May
24th. Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day weekend.
Victoria Day weekend.
And you're listening to Running Flat Radio, and we will be back.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor, Essex, an information update with Paul Pedro.
If you need some answers about the new time of use billing by Enwin, the utility is hosting an open house next month. Experts will be on hand April 9th at the Kubota Club to help explain the system before it goes live in mid-April. A Windsor woman has been given a suspended sentence and 18 months probation after she pleaded guilty to fraud against the Windsor-Essex Community Housing Corporation. 55-year-old Maria Pato was the on-site manager for two property management companies and was making subsidy requests on behalf behalf of tenants, although those tenants had moved out. And the Windsor-Essex Humane Society has Mutt Madness. Dog owners are encouraged to find out what mixed breed their dog is and to post a picture of their mixed breed pooch online. Two dogs will then be picked for a DNA dog test. AM 800 Sports, the Wings are home to the Leafs tonight. The Junior C Hockey Provincial Quarterfinal is underway, with the Essex 73s hosting Dorchester tonight, and Ben Johnson is the Spitfires Player of the Week. From the AM 800 Weather Center, tonight rain beginning overnight, a low of 2. Tomorrow the rain continues, a high all the way up to 8. Wednesday night, rain ending after midnight, then cloudy, a 30% chance of flurries, windy and a low of 0. Right now in Windsor Essex, 4 Celsius, that is 39 Fahrenheit. I'm Paul Pedro, AM 800 News.
When you're able to focus your mind and your body, anything is possible.
From 5K runs to half marathons to the full 26.2 miles. We talk about it all on Running Flat Radio, Tuesdays, 7 till 8 on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. I'm Chris Uzinski with Kelly Steele from the Windsor Star. Welcome to the second half of our hour on Running Flat Radio. Great having the Petro Brothers in. They're really funny guys, and good luck to them. Heartbreakerchallenge.com, May 24th.
And that really is a great race because, you know, we see, and not to put down any others, you know, we look at the Warrior Dash and all the other races where, you know, you have to travel out of town. It's kind of cool that we have something right here in Windsor where we can really embrace it. And even better that all the kind of the money that's raised goes to a local, the local hospital.
Absolutely does. So in the studio, it's so rare for us to have studio guests, by the way, because most the stuff we do is over the phone, but the show is always live. But to have two sets of live guests in one show is like unheard of for us. And joining us right now is Melissa Bishop and Kurt Michael Downs, who's the coach. Melissa is the 2012 Olympic Canadian 800 meter sprinter. Who represented Canada, and she trains locally, so she's come in, and thank you very much for coming in tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's great to have an Olympian in our presence.
Yeah.
So, you know, you were at the University of Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
You came down to Windsor. Is that a Dennis Farrell thing? Is it the reputation of the coach and the program we have here at the University of Windsor Track and Field?
Absolutely. I mean, when I was looking to move from the University of Ottawa, I looked at, you know, A, who the coach was, and B, what kind of success they had in the program, and Dennis just stood out by far from everyone else in the Canadian university system. So Dennis was definitely, without a doubt, the best choice for me ever in my running career.
So, you know, we have the whole idea behind the show, obviously running, but it's about getting people from the couch into their first 5K.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we've had some great guests like Bart Yasso. We've had some wonderful guests on who really kind of embody the beginning runners. Let's talk about what it's like to be an 800-meter specialist.
Sure.
Because to me, that is such a foreign market, right? Because we're used to ultramarathons,
right,
doing 100s or 42s, but we're talking someone who specializes in the 800-meter,
mm-hmm,
and is in such an elite factor that you're within the, you know, that one percentile of the world. So what do you do all day long? Like, how is it that you come into your running career and then specialize really in 800 meter?
Well, when I first started, I was more of a sprinter, so 200s, 400 meter runner. I didn't really start doing 800s till probably grade 11 or grade 12. And, you know, it took me a lot of practice. I still haven't really figured out the 800. I don't think I ever really will figure it out. There's always something new to learn in the 800, but I think I really just came into my own over my university career with Dennis, and the training just has finally clicked, and we're seeing a lot of success right now, so it's been really good.
Now, with your training, how, mm-hmm, much training, like a week, do you put in?
Well, I can't, hour-wise, I'm going to say probably 20 to 30 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll run every day. We'll get one day off.
Do you train with your teammates?
Yep, I do train with my teammates. We do. We do long runs twice a day. We'll do.
What would a long run be for you?
My longest run would be 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Shortest run would be about 30 minutes. So we do double days, on three times a week. Two times a week, we're doing actual intervals on the track, or we're going out to Malden to run the big hills and something similar to that.
Now, it was Kurt?
Yes.
What's the reason for a double day, the double days? Three times a week, you said you do those?
Mm-hmm. Well, my specialty is a little bit more of the speed power types events, but Dennis being Melissa's coach, I would think that it would come from strength, you know, being having two-day workouts, you know, a little bit more volume, I think would bode well for her having a little bit more strength. Coming back and having to run multiple races in a day or multiple races over the course of a weekend or an event such as World Championships, as Melissa was in last year, or the Olympics, as she was in 2 years ago.
Now, do you think an everyday runner could benefit from the, you know, morning run and a night run?
I would say, you know, a beginning runner, probably not.
Okay.
But more of, you know, a regular runner or a more of an elite runner.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, definitely. I know with Dennis, when he takes Melissa to camps or, for instance, high altitude camps and those sorts of things that she's heading to in a short while, they do multiple workouts a day. And from my perspective in the speed power events, we definitely do multiple workouts in a day for training effect.
Okay. Now, when you're ready for a race, is your diet any different? Are there things you're really loading up on?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Coming into our competitive season, which is usually about April to August, my diet definitely changes. I can't speak for all runners, but mm-hmm. For myself anyways, it does change. It's not, you know, more carbs, more protein. It's just really clean eating, lots of fruits and vegetables, you know, protein. I still eat carbs.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a balanced diet. I just cut out all the junk, really.
Now, how does it feel when someone says, when like Chris calls you an Olympian? Does that not, like, you're young. Does that not kind of blow your mind?
It does. Well, I think I've come to terms with it now, but, you know, definitely after 2012 when I came back, just saying the words coming out of my mouth was... it was kind of a shock because it really is a dream come true for me. Mm-hmm. This has been my dream since I was a little girl. So I think now I've come to terms with it and I'm, you know, getting prepared for the next round of Olympics, but definitely mm-hmm. the first while after the Olympics, it felt kind of weird.
So we'll talk about the road to Rio in a minute,
mm-hmm.
but what I want to talk about is you've done the Prefontaine Classic in Oregon a couple of times. I mean, that's a really intimidating venue to be mm-hmm. in, and you've broken 2 minutes in the 800 meter in that venue. I mean, coming in second and third, I think, in the last number of what is that like?
Well, I was just actually with Nike today talking about Hayward Field, and there's a certain, I cannot describe it, but there magic happens there, and I don't know what it is. It's the feel of the crowd and the intensity, and it's a very fast track, I'll give you that. But you just get in there and you just run, and the crowd carries you through the race. And the first time I broke 2 minutes was the very first time I'd been to Hayward Field. Mm-hmm. I'd never run there before. I crossed that line having no idea what I had ran, only to find out that I'd run my A standard and almost guaranteed myself on the Olympic team. So it's an unbelievable. I would go back there every year if I could, even as a spectator, if you can go. Absolutely.
So how about
go.
Butterflies and stuff? You get butterflies when you're lining up?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Halfway through, are you freaking out? Or are you just so focused that...
No, it's more before the race, so you get the butterflies. You know, when you're toeing the line, mm-hmm. Your heart's kind of beating out of your chest. Definitely in the warm-up beforehand, you know, you're getting nervous and stuff. But once you're in the race, you're in the race. You forget about all those nerves, and you're just out there to run.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Rio.
Okay.
And you know, a little more than 2 years away.
Mm-hmm.
What is the next 24 months look like for an athlete who's you know, obviously jockeying for that position mm-hmm. to go back on the world stage like that?
Well, coming up this summer is the Commonwealth Games there in Scotland. So that will be, that's a huge goal for us this summer. Next year will be World Championships mm-hmm. and Pan Am Games, which are being held in Toronto. So if anybody is around and they want to go check it out, you should definitely head up to Toronto. So those are the two big three markers that we have leading up to Rio.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So those will be... those will be the biggest goals, I think, leading up to Rio for sure.
So one of the things that I've talked to a lot of Olympic athletes and a lot of elite athletes lately, like Meb's coming on the show in a couple of weeks to talk about how at 39 he's still one of the fastest marathoners in the world. And you know, for a guy like Meb, money and training is not an issue. Endorsements are not an issue. I mean, he had Visa for how many years endorsing him? Let's talk about what it's like to be a Canadian track and field athlete at the varsity level and trying to get to that elite status, because it's not easy. No. I mean, I've talked to a lot of athletes off the course and had frank conversations about how we in Canada do not fund our athletes well at all. And it's one thing I do want to get Dennis in. I want to talk about that because it's a very serious issue. Mm-hmm. And funding and sponsorship in general is a very tough issue. And I know that's kind of like this horrible ball to lob at you. but if you can kind of describe how that funding works, mm-hmm. We'd love to understand it.
Okay. Kurt, do you maybe want to?
Sure. Funding, it is a very difficult subject, but as far as funding, there's two major funding groups in Canada. There's Athletics Canada, which is overarching branch, and then we also have the provincial branch, which is Athletics Ontario. Both have what they call carding systems. Quest for Gold basically funds the provincial branch, which is Athletics Ontario. And then we have Own the Podium and a few others that come together to work with Athletics Canada. So basically for an athlete like, Melissa, she would have our national branch of funding for herself, where she would get, a certain amount of money. Obviously, I won't say the exact amount.
No, you don't have
stuff,
to. No.
But a certain amount of money each month, being an elite level athlete. And then also, we have a bunch of provincial level athletes at the university who also would receive some, monthly amounts of money towards their training. Again, by no means is it, enough to make a living off of.
No, it's not.
But I mean, it would be the equivalent of, a very decent part-time job,
right?
Essentially is what the amount would be. So there's always going to be the need for shoe sponsorships, and Melissa's very blessed to have Nike backing her. But there are a lot of athletes who don't have shoe sponsorships, and they rely on the local companies to help them out. Running factories or those sorts of groups. And if not, then they're pretty much hung out to dry.
And what can we as Windsorites or runners or Canadians do to help that cause? Because with all due respect, it's not about the person who's already been there or is right there at the page. It's the person who's back there trying to mm-hmm. get to that pinnacle of their career that needs the training, the money, and everything else.
Absolutely. First thing I would do is I would look at the different sport organizations that are in the city. We're incredibly fortunate in Windsor. A lot of it due to Melissa's coach, Dennis, and sort of his legacy. We have Border City Athletics Club. I'm a part of that. We also have the University of Windsor Athletic Club in the city, which is another club that's directly related with the university. So there's clubs like that in the city that definitely work with developing athletes and have been able to, develop athletes over a period of time, like Melissa coming to the city mm-hmm. and moving her forward to the level that she's been at. Okay. And again, we've had tons of very elite level athletes in the city. The Brandon McBrides, the Noel Combs, the Jamie Ajete Nelsons, who recently had a documentary released about him that talks about some of the funding issues, as a Commonwealth Games gold medalist he's had.
Melissa, I just had one really quick question. I didn't mean to catch you off there. Look at what you've achieved already. You've been mm-hmm. to the Olympics, seen your face on running magazines. You're what, the spokesperson right now for Infinite Sports Drink?
Yep.
Where do you see all this ending up? Do you have one thing you really, really want to achieve before you're done with all this?
That's a really good question. I don't think I've ever really thought about that. I really want to be known in the track community as a great, as I want to go down as a legend, really. Whether I would hope it would be due to performances, but you know, if I can help anybody along the way on their dreams, then I'm all for it.
You know, I think you already are doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Melissa Bishop and Kurt Michael Downs. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll be right back on Running Flat Radio.
Target helps you check it off your list for less. With our price match guarantee, you'll be stocking up with unbeatable prices no matter what day of the week it is. This week, get a regular box of Kellogg's Frosted Flakes for only $2.99 and select Goldfish Crackers for only $2. Target. Expect more, pay less. Restrictions apply to the price match guarantee. See target.ca for details.
Hyundai's factory-authorized five-day sale starts tomorrow.
Thousands of new Hyundais at over 200 Hyundai dealerships coast-to-coast will be priced at massive deals.
Plus, for 5 days only on 2014 Accents,
get $1,250 in price adjustments
with 0% financing for 60 months.
Factory-authorized five-days only deals on all 2014 Elantra, Sonata, and Santa Fe Sport models, too.
Visit HyundaiCanada.com for details and shop Hyundai's coast-to-coast factory-authorized sale at your local Hyundai dealer tomorrow. Dealer may sell for less.
But be early. The hottest models will sell fast.
Nothing like the nice weather to put a spring in your step. And there's nothing like the Zing Into Spring sales event to put a deal in your driveway. Your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram retailer has great lease offers. Total discounts up to $10,350 and 0% financing available on a huge selection of new vehicles from our award-winning lineup. Don't get dinged somewhere else. Get zinged into spring. See your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram retailer for details.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. Tonight, rain beginning after midnight, a low of 2. Tomorrow, the rain continues, a high all the way up to 8. Wednesday night, rain ending after midnight, then cloudy, a 30% chance of flurries, windy, and a low of 0. Thursday and Friday, a mix of sun and cloud, a 30% chance of flurries or showers, a high of 6 on Thursday, 5 on Friday. Once again, rain beginning after midnight tonight, a low of 2. The rain continues tomorrow and a high all the way up to 8.
The Morning Drive gives you that perk to start your day.
On the next show, we bring you all of the latest developments on the search for the missing Malaysian airplane at 6:50 during the Things You Need to Know segment.
At 7:20, play the Mr. Instant Teller contest and you could win some cash. She's got thousands to give away and some of it could be yours.
And at 8:12, the last hockey team of the week.
The number one morning show, The Morning Drive. Weekday mornings 5 till 9 on AM 800.
Whether you're building or renovating, get ready to join the AM 800 A-Team at the Windsor Essex Home Builders Association Home Show, the premier home show, featuring all the right people and local companies to help you dream and design. Get fabulous ideas and inspiration for all the possibilities for your home. Say hello to the AM 800 A-Team at the Windsor Essex Home Builders Association Home Show, March 21st through the 23rd at the Chicharro Club. Visit homeshowwindsor.com. Sponsored by the Raffi Auto Group, Rochester Place Golf Club, and AM 800.
Every once in a while, the very best gather on an international stage to show the world they have what it takes.
There are two languages here, French and really reluctant English.
To be the funniest, just for laughs. All Access, recorded live in Montreal, featuring Seth Meyers, Sarah Silverman, Chris Hardwick, and Amy Schumer.
I heard if you can make it here, you can make it in Ottawa.
Just for laughs, All Access, season premiere Sunday at 9, only on the Comedy Network.
Keep fit. Keep active. Keep running. This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. It's always great to have an Olympic athlete in the studio just kind of talking about their sport and their passions. And I just find it incredible to, you know, under 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's, for 800 it's amazing. Meters. And, you know, she's such a beautiful young lady. And to think what she's already accomplished with her life is incredible.
It really is. And congratulations to Dennis and the University of Windsor and the team down there. They do an amazing job. They got some great athletes. On the live lines with us is our friends from Canadian Running Magazine. Scott Leach joins us. How are you, Scott?
Good. How are you doing, Chris?
I am better than the average bear. Thank you. So, you know that we just had Melissa Bishop in here.
I heard.
And you know, you know Melissa Bishop, and she's actually been on the cover of your magazine.
She has been a couple issues ago.
Yeah.
Well, we had her coach in here, too, Kurt Michael Downs. He said he knew you pretty well.
I know Kurt as well. Yeah, Kurt is a good friend of mine. He was a coach at Western as well when I was there.
Right on, right on. So, you know, it's been a really crazy week in running for a lot of reasons. You know, let's talk about your top three stories that you have this week.
Well, probably our biggest story of the last couple of weeks was that Lanny Marchand, who is one of Canada's top roadrunners right now, I guess you could say she is Canada's top roadrunner on the women's side right now, broke the Canadian women's half marathon record a couple of weeks ago. She ran 1:10:47, so 70 minutes, 47 seconds, breaking Tara Quinn Swift's old record of 1 hour, 12 minutes, and 9 seconds. So,
what per mile pace would that be for her?
Pardon?
What per mile pace would that be?
Ooh, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. That would take...
super fast.
Yeah, it's quick. Yeah, you know, I don't think it was totally unexpected. You know, she broke Sylvia Ruger's national marathon record in the fall as well at the Toronto Waterfront Marathon. But to see someone running this fast this early in the season is a pretty exciting story.
So do you think that for Rio, because I do know a number of other female marathon athletes that are currently training in California and abroad, who are trying to also get that seat to Rio. And, you know, look, Canada had a real bad reputation last time around in the marathon because our women could not make our cutoff. Are you thinking that's going to be different this time around?
I definitely think that's going to be different. You know, Lanny Marchand and Krista Duchesne were the two women that were struggling to make the standard that Athletics Canada had set for the marathon. But, you know, they both broke Sylvia Ruger's previous record in the fall in the same race, and they've both been racing well since then. It looks like they definitely both have a shot at that.
All right. All right. And, you know, the big news at Running Flat this week was that we finally made it to iTunes. And you have a story about Apple.
Yeah, you know, it's a bit of a story. It's also a bit not of a story. But Apple recently filed a patent for a new type of pedometer technology that they've been developing, which seems to suggest that they might be taking an interest in the wearable fitness tech market, which is a booming industry right now. You see companies like Nike Plus with their Nike Plus sport bands and Adidas with their new sport watches have been doing really well in that sector. So, but what's interesting about this is that Apple has been notorious in recent decade for, you know, entering major markets and totally shaking them up. And they've been making hires recently of fitness experts and nutrition experts, which suggests that they might be interested in getting into the industry.
Maybe it's implantable.
Yeah, maybe.
Forget wearable. Let's just go straight to implantable and call it a day. And then you've got another story coming out. I mean, the big one obviously was the New York Half Marathon. I mean, what an incredible finish for second. I watched part of it on the weekend. Mm-hmm. I had to because I know that Meb was trying to win it, but then was sick for 5 days prior to it, so he pulled back. And you know, there's a whole bunch of great stories in there.
Yeah, there's a ton. You know, on the surface, the first story that anyone notices would be that Jeffrey Mutai, who has ran the fastest marathon ever, won, but that wasn't too out of the question either. But I think the almost more interesting story to a lot of people is that Mo Farah actually fell midway through the race, got up, finished second, and then he collapsed at the finish line, which, you know, he ran a great race, but he's in training for his marathon debut in about a month's time at the London Marathon, where people are really anticipating that he's going to do really well. But so it kind of leaves in question how his training might be affected by this race.
What were they saying the reason was why he collapsed? Was it just exhaustion?
It sounds like just exhaustion at this point. He did speak to the media about 60 minutes later. So, and he seems to be in fine health, so hopefully everything's all right. But, you know, at the same time, you never know what might be an underlying cause for something like this.
Still, that's pretty amazing to actually fall down. You still come in second. That's amazing.
It's Mo.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he ran a great time. He ran 1 hour and 50 seconds. So I believe, sorry, that was wrong. He ran 1 hour and 7 seconds, 1 hour, 1 minute and 7 seconds, which is a fast time. So it certainly bodes well for his races to come this summer.
What an amazing time. And to have that those level of elite athletes all within matters of seconds of each other is just unbelievable on that course. Because they weren't a pack when they fell.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's lots of video kicking around the internet of that fall. So, but anyway, Scott, thank you very much for joining us this week.
Not a problem, Chris.
And all the best to the guys at Canadian Running Magazine. Thank you very much. Well, we'll see you next week. A couple things I do want to cover off before we take off is that runningflat.com is kind of like the portal for all these runs that we have coming up. And, you know, obviously the Le Chocolat is the one that a lot of people are talking about because it's the one that's first coming up. It's May 4th. It is in front of Walkerville Brewery as a start-finish line.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an event that has a 5K, a 10K, and a 21K. Everyone gets the 3-liter box bag of wine as their giveaway, and it's one of those things where you know, we have people flying in from Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm.
To do this event, all coming to Windsor to enjoy Le Chocolat. So we're really fortunate with that.
That's excellent.
And thank you very much for joining us this week on Running Flat Radio. Don't forget you can catch us on iTunes, or you can actually download us directly off runningflat.com. Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Chris.
And keep running.
And that's the end of it.
End of episode. Running Flat Radio with Chris Yuzinski. Tuesday night, 7 till 8 on AM 800. Running Flat Radio is a paid program.